Good morning. Some time ago, the New Republic published a spoof about the Bush dynasty of the 21st century. Jeb would follow his brother as president for 8 years, then the Bush twins, the first female presidents, would add another 16 years. The first twins' biggest legislative coup would be the legalization of drugs, as the finest ever example of compassionate conservatism. After all, why should those rich people have to buy their recreational drugs illegally? With Bush's negative polls in the mid-30s with no hope of recovery, there is no talk, serious or otherwise, about a Bush dynasty. At Republican fundraisers these days, it's Ronald Reagan who is held up as the model president. Most of this is misdirected nostalgia, because Reagan never fit the conservative Republican mold, especially the one that is current today. In his early days, Reagan was promoted by rich Southern Californian businessmen whose only concerns were a virulent anti-communism and free market economics. Abortion and homosexual rights were never high on Reagan's agenda. The Reagans did not attend church, and if they had a religion, it was rather New Age. The most embarrassing fact about the Reagan presidency is that the First Lady set her husband's schedule according to the signs of the zodiac. Of the three ideals of the Republican right, God, country, and family, Reagan was passionate about only one of these. After his first tax cut got through Congress, the man who taught Americans to loathe liberals, to hate taxes and the government they support, raised taxes, not once, but several times. Contrary to his pale shadow now in the White House, Reagan had enough sense to realize that his tax cuts did not raise sufficient revenues, but he still produced the second largest budget deficit in the history of the American presidency. All the presidents from 1792 to 2000 ran up $1.01 trillion in debt. A good deal of that accrued during Reagan's term. Under Bush, the debt has increased $1.05 trillion. And he still wants more tax cuts. There's one major difference between Reagan and Bush. Reagan turned against his hawkish advisors, Pearl, Wolfowitz, and Rumsfeld, and decided to negotiate with the Soviets rather than to duke it out with them. At the 1986 Reykjavik summit, Reagan's aides were furious that he and Gorbachev had initially agreed to total disarmament. The deal fell through when Reagan refused to give up Star Wars. No one won the Cold War because Gorbachev and Reagan agreed to end it peacefully and diplomatically. As a Temple University historian states, it was Reagan the peacemaker, not the Cold Warrior, who made the greatest contribution to history. Except for the bombing of Libya, Reagan was not much of a hawk on terrorism either. Far more Americans died from terrorist attacks under Reagan than did under Clinton. And Reagan, under the advice of Rumsfeld, shipped supplies to Saddam Hussein for the chemical weapons that he used against the Kurds. Reagan gave billions of dollars to the radical Islamists in Afghanistan, who have now turned against us. Even though he raised taxes, Reagan's mantra of less government, less taxes has been so ingrained in the electorate that conservative Republicans may destroy the very basis of American civilization as we know it. Public services, schools, and universities are now so underfunded that they may never recover. Even though Reagan's instincts were such that he could anticipate some of the dangers of a rigid ideology, there are still far too many chilling parallels between him and our current president. Both are simple minds trying to operate in an increasingly complex world, one that cannot be divided between us, the cowardly Europeans, and the evil ones. We have made enormous contributions as a nation, but we should never fool ourselves into thinking that we are somehow exceptional, and certainly not God's chosen instrument to save the world. This is Nick Geyer of the Palouse Pundit, wishing you a good day.